available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner, going to try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions. Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site, on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Pac-12 football. This is an audio-only version of the podcast. No simulcast or video, as David would want to call it. This week, David, a little under the weather. Got some weird
pink eye.
Pink eye? Okay.
Yes. Yes. My children gave me pink eye.
Nice. How is that, having kids?
It's fun? Great. It's great. You know, there's highs and lows. One of the lows is being sick with some just disgusting thing every, I don't know, 2 months or so.
Yeah. So Dave didn't bring the pink eye into the office, so we're just doing an audio version.
That's the kind of courtesy you can expect from me.
Yeah. I brought lots of donuts in the office, like sprinkles, the pink sprinkle ones you love. I just thought you were going to be here, and now you're not here, so I guess I'll have to eat them.
Okay.
Pink sprinkles for your pink eye.
Yeah. Pink eye.
Magic. No, I didn't bring any donuts. But I was hoping you would, but now you got the pink eye. So we're just doing the audio version. If you do want to tell us about your day, what you want to talk about, what you want to hear here on the POC, you can email us, pac12podcast@gmail.com. You can also call or text us at 424-532-0678. I think we got a voicemail and a text this week. You can also tweet us at pac12podcast. That's mostly me, but, you know, if I say something weird, David will jump in there. So I try to say some weird stuff every once in a while just to make David figure out how to log into the Twitter account again. And then the website is pac12podcast.com, where all of the content goes up that I put up there. David never looks at it, so don't worry. But, yeah, good stuff over there if you want to check out some old episodes.
There isn't.
Very good stuff. It's excellent. And a lot of good stuff in the notes today. I got a lot of good notes that we can talk about from our, you know, we haven't done a show maybe like a week and a half or so. So wanted to, I'm going to be going on vacation, so we wanted to make sure we got a show in. I don't ever get to go on vacation.
All right, everyone, David. Drink, take a shot. Ryan is going on vacation again.
Hey, you know, it's good to be the boss. You can go on vacation when you want.
Vacation from your vacation.
You need those sometimes when they're really rough vacations. But if you have, like, you know, an iPhone and you have, like, that podcasting app over on your iPhone, it's called Apple Podcast. And what you can do there is follow our show, which is awesome. And you can also rate us with 5 stars and leave us some sort of funny review. We do appreciate that. It helps to grow the show. For whatever reason, the Apple Podcasting app seems to be the gold standard out there with podcasting apps, and they do allow you to rate us and leave us reviews. So if you do that, we would really appreciate it. No bribes this week. Do we have any new ones, David?
No, and I think we must. We really need to reinstitute bribes, because that's the only way to get these layabouts to do what they need to do.
Yeah, please get in there and leave us a review. It does help growing the show and all that, and we gotta keep growing, because who knows, a year from now,
like cancer. Where we've got to metastasize. We've got to continue to consume as much of the healthy flesh as we possibly can.
Love it. Like your pink eyes doing to your face. Right.
I'm gonna have pink face, then I'm gonna have pink body.
Wow.
Be pink. I'm going to be pink very, and oozing.
A lot of oozing pinkness.
Good visuals, everyone.
Yeah.
Don't you wish you could see me right now? Yeah.
I'm kind of glad I can't. Is that weird?
No, I think it's about normal. About normal.
Nice. All right. Well,
Ryan, are you a big Zelda guy when you were a kid?
I've played it. No, I wasn't a big Zelda guy, but I've played it.
So I was when I was like a gamer, which was when I was like 10, I played a whole lot of Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, which was the Super Nintendo Zelda. It was great. I was really good at it. Really enjoyed it. Played it a lot. I'm a gamer now in the sense that every 6 years I buy an entirely new game system to play precisely one game for approximately 8 hours, and then I never play a game again, right?
So it's like an $800 investment or something.
An $800 investment for 8 hours of enjoyment once every 6 years. Okay, follow me?
And I guess, is this a Zelda thing or is this NCAA football thing?
I bought a Nintendo Switch in 2017 to play Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which was awesome. I actually probably played that for 16 hours.
Okay. Right?
I doubled my usual output. Luckily, Nintendo is not quite on the like PlayStation thing where they turn out like an entirely new game system like every 2 years. So I bought a second game on one of my systems for the first time ever. And it just so happened to be Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh.
Came out last week. You haven't played it?
I have not. But I feel like it's kind of like I love those games. There, when I was a kid, it was like Ultima. It would be like, I forget, the RPC games, like you're a player character or something, and you like go around these adventures and like to talk to people and fight things.
RPG.
RPG, sorry, yes.
Right. Yeah.
Is that what this is, kind of, or not really?
It's like one of those Zelda games. You're like a dude with a sword, and you go around and you like, you know, fight monsters and all that kind of stuff. But it's crazy. Like it's just stupid because I'm like going back and I'm thinking about like when I was playing like Super Nintendo games, and it's all isometric. Like you're looking straight down at it, and you can do like two things. Like you can either swing your sword, maybe you can run fast, but that's like it. You've got two buttons. Figure out.
Like complicated.
This stupid thing, you can fly. There's this entire element of this game that's crafting, where you can just take materials and put them together. And I'm learning just how bad I am spatially now, like for doing this stuff. And I'm like, I'm actually too old to be doing this. I am too old to be spending time on this. And not because I've got more important things to do. I don't. But because like my brain just can't handle the game. I can't do it. It's designed for brains more elastic than mine now.
Used to just be like an arcade game, like sword run, like that's it. Not you have to collect like ingredients for a potion.
No, you had to do all that stuff. But like my point was, there wasn't a whole lot to like. You didn't have to think too hard about how you're moving around in the world. Like you can go up, down, left, right, fall off something, swing a sword, you know, run. Yeah. Right. And now you can, you know, you can fly, you can jump off things, you can attach a fan to like a glider and fly through the air. It's all just, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Recommend it.
So how long are you going to play this one?
I think I got another 4 hours in me.
Okay.
Yeah. But this one cost me $600. It only cost me the $70 for the game.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. Anyway.
Well, let's jump into
our college football podcast.
We are a college football podcast. I do want to, I'm thinking about getting a console for the NCAA football game when that comes out.
That probably makes sense. Yeah. I might have to do that too, which will, accelerate my usual timeline.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's the new Xbox or whatever costs. I don't know which version they're on. I used to play like Halo on the original Xbox. I like that. And since then I haven't done much, but
yeah.
That was a long time ago. Anyway. But Halo was pretty cool.
That was like 20 years ago. Jesus.
Was it really?
I think so.
That's freaking crazy. All right. Well, I got a bunch of notes in our little Google Doc, and one of the ones that just kind of came out today, Brandon Marcello, a bunch of other college football writers writing about the revenue. Power Five revenue distribution average per school for the 2021-2022 season. And I'll go over it with you and get your thoughts. Big Ten coming in first, $58.8 million per school, for revenue distribution. The SEC, just under $50 million, $49.9 million per school per year. The Big 12, a little bit of a range, $42 to $44.9 million, so that's pretty good. The ACC, a little below that, $39.4 million, and then the Pac-12 is coming in last place, David, $37 million. So, you know, $21 million or so, $22 million less than the Big Ten, and obviously that's going to get worse as the, you know, the SEC gets their new deal kicking and the Big Ten gets their new deal kicking. But $21 million per school per year difference, pretty big. But I know you're not a big, like, hey, all this millions of dollars doesn't mean much. But any thoughts on the latest numbers that have come out?
Only going to get worse. I mean, yeah. That gap is only going to get worse. But yeah,
it's pretty big right now. $21 million is pretty big. You're like, ooh, that's not good. And it's like, ooh, it's going to be worse.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's describing, I mean, that's describing what has already happened, right? I mean, it's going to be nightmarish. Yeah, I mean, $21 million, it's significant. You know, we're already seeing a pretty significant difference in coaching salaries between the haves and the have-nots. And we're going to continue to see it increase. I mean, I don't know that it's anything new is, I guess, my point. It's the same kind of story we've been hearing for years now.
Yeah. The numbers were released, I guess, today. So people were kind of chatting about them. So I wanted to,
you don't need to justify yourself to me.
Throw that out there.
You don't need to justify what you've included in the document. Okay. Yeah. You feel secure in who you are and what you provide to this show.
We also got some Pac-12 news this week. Television enhancements for Pac-12 games. So I think
we love television enhancements.
I really want to get your thoughts on this. So the Big 12 came out with that there was a bunch of ideas they were mulling around, and apparently the Pac-12 was thinking about this too, or reacted to what the Big 12 was doing. But the release says in-game and pregame football access initiatives approved by the Pac-12 board, and to be implemented throughout the Pac-12 football broadcast on ESPN, Fox Sports, and Pac-12 Networks broadcasts include, so this is what's going to happen. They're going to have in-game head coach interviews. They usually do that at halftime, right? Like, I guess this would be...
I'm guessing they're doing it like first quarter, third quarter type deal.
Yeah, too. Like we see in the NBA and stuff right now. I think those are fairly worthless. I don't know,
Every bit of this is worthless except for one thing. So in-game head coach interviews, worthless. Pre-game and halftime locker room camera access, worthless. Cameras in the coach's booth without sound, worthless. Extended handheld camera permission, I don't know, probably worthless.
Right.
But the middle one, coaches and select student athletes wired on field pre-game. I love this shit. I eat it up every time they've got it for like Major League Baseball, for the NFL. It doesn't matter if it's the most lame stuff in the world. It is humanizing. It makes everyone feel like they're on the field. This is cool stuff. I like it when broadcasts do it. So that is a cool initiative. Makes all the other stupid stuff worth it.
Nice. I love it. That's great. I want to... hey, don't delete stuff in the doc because I'm going to use these for notes when I write up the thingy. That's behind the curtain stuff there. I would say...
There you go. That.
Thanks,
there you
man.
Go, girl. It.
There you go. Washington State's president had an interview with CougFan.com, the Washington State Cougar site for 24/7 sports. He talks about the upcoming Pac-12 media rights deal. So we haven't heard from George Kliavkoff about this. We've heard from various athletic directors or presidents sort of making different predictions or thoughts when they would get interviewed, timeline things. So according to the Washington State president, a few weeks to a month for the Pac-12 media rights deal. Now, I know Ray Anderson had said sometime like summer, like he's, you know, he was like July, August timeframe. So he was saying, you know, the Arizona State athletic director, he was given a different timeline. I probably would trust the president more than an athletic director, especially Ray Anderson. But yeah, it again, we keep saying, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Just not sure when, but it seems like it might be coming.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like we're getting consistently, they're just kicking the can down the road. I mean, on the record saying this, but I have to imagine, I mean, I don't have a pure photographic memory of the whole thing, but wasn't this the exact kind of language we were hearing in like January and February too from some of the presidents?
Oh, it was like March, you know, we're going to, you know, it was
a few more weeks.
Yeah, it's before like spring that, ball.
That 30 Rock thing with Matt Damon, where it's he's the pilot, and he's like, "Yeah, 30 more minutes to take off," and that's just what you say. like I don't know. I feel like this is. I mean, I feel like it's designed to keep everyone kind of in the fold and waiting. I think the like oral history of this whole thing, like 5 years from now, is going to be really interesting. Like, how much of this is gamesmanship to keep other schools in the fold from a school like Washington State, right? That might not have as many options to like say, oh, yeah, no, it's going to be in the next 3 weeks. I know. And then that, you know, that puts public pressure on everyone else to kind of stay together. I don't know. It's really interesting because it feels like a lot of this is narrative based rather than reality based.
No, I would agree with you there. And if you didn't check it out, Ross Dellinger did a good story for SI about, you know, conference expansion and kind of where things go. One of the more interesting tidbits from that story was that if San Diego State, you know, expansion candidate, and right now it seems like the media rights deal needs to get signed and then expansion can happen. It seems like that's sort of the order of where things would go, but this might change things with, I didn't realize this, and now it's been reported by Ross and some others, I believe. So if San Diego State wants to start playing 2024, it would owe the Mountain West an exit fee about $17 million. So, you know, it's something reasonable as of July 1st. So what, 6 weeks from now, that will triple. So if you're talking about joining the Pac-12, it's not like they are flush with cash. I mean, that's tripling that, you know, $50 million or whatever. I don't know if that's going to happen. You might have to wait till 2025. So it would be, you know, USC and UCLA are gone and no one's come in to replace them, at least for a year. So that could, you know, put some pressure on George Klyavkov and the Pac-12, knowing that San Diego State really needs to have an answer by the end of June. So I thought that was interesting. And I don't know if you got to check out his story, but sort of kind of give a lay of the land of all of this conference expansion. We'll talk about some of the ACC stuff in a minute, but you know, the Pac-12 is sort of like, this is like the linchpin. Like, we need to see what happens in the Pac-12, and that's what could set dominoes, you know, falling in all different directions.
Yeah, the interesting thing with San Diego State is I don't think it's out of the question that the Big 12 might try to swoop too, because they've shown absolutely no regard for geography or human life in continuing to expand that conference. And in their probably continuing effort to kill the Pac-12, cutting off their avenues for expansion that might actually generate them a little bit more revenue and a little bit more juice would be one of the ways to do it. So if the Pac-12 balks at paying any sort of exit fee and just waits until, you know, San Diego State's contract is up or whatever, that's where it could get dicey. You could see San Diego State getting swooped up on by the Big 12, or just deciding, well, we may as well just stick it out. Because by the time, I don't know when is the Mountain West current deal done, or when could San Diego State do it without a fee? Do we know that?
I'm not sure. But yeah, but the fact that it would triple, I mean, that's not insane. Like,
yeah, you gotta shit or get off the pot, more or less. And so, yeah, I mean, that gives them basically, what is that? That's 6 weeks to get it done.
And I don't know if it's just timing. It might be part of the contract where, like, if you don't say it by July 1st, you can't leave until the next, you know, it might just be, I don't think you're getting locked into a longer time period if you wait longer, but I believe it's part of the current contract that if you want to get out, you have to pay this much. They're not locked in. And I think that's probably what, like, the Mountain West needed to do. So you can get out, you just have to pay. But you can't give us like 2 weeks notice. You have to give us more notice. I believe that's why it triples if you wait, and then it would just be $17 million again for 2025, I believe.
Yeah, because I think if you're Kliavkov in the Pac-12, you got to start making some hard choices. San Diego State isn't worth $17 million annually, probably, to the conference, I don't think, the way the math would work out. But if you think it shores up your conference and makes your longevity, you know, makes the window for longevity a little bit wider, then you have to do it, and you got to do it soon. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting 6 weeks, and maybe this is somewhat related to the Washington State president saying a few weeks to a month for the media rights deal.
And I think there's enough evidence for San Diego State that you're like, no matter what we do, we would like to bring San Diego State in. So can you get that done?
Yeah.
I thought it would be after some kind of media rights deal is announced, but it just, as much success as they've had in football, in basketball, and it's as much success, with those sports, as far as, I think it was like the last 10 years, like they've had more wins than everybody but Ohio State for both of those sports combined. And the Southern California market, I just feel like this makes enough sense that, okay, this is, you know, where the Pac-12 should go. Prefer to sign a media rights deal, but let's just bring in San Diego State in 2024. And if it's 11 teams, it's 11 teams, but we at least have one Southern, you know, we have a Southern California presence. So I'm curious why that hasn't happened yet, but it might, you know, even if there's no media rights deal, we might see this just because we know the exit fee is so much.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
And the ACC I mentioned, if you checked out any of the tweets about what was going on there, they had meetings down in Florida, and it was funny. The, Ross, I think this was Ross Dellinger again, that wrote about basically there was a magnificent seven. That might have been Brett McMurphy, but there was a bunch of people reporting on this, that there were seven ACC schools that were looking to, you know, explore kicking the tires on how to get out of their grant of rights, because they're for stability after Maryland left. They signed a very long-term contract, and this wasn't Jim Phillips, the current commissioner. This was, he kind of was, he inherited this pretty terrible contract. That's great for ESPN. It goes until 2036. And it's a really strict,
might as well be 3036.
Right. In this time, you know, it's way longer than what Larry Scott signed. And right now, as we mentioned, the ACC is in third, but that's, you know, the gap between where they are and the Big Ten and the SEC is going to grow. And there's potential for the teams behind them, I mean, the conferences behind them, to pass them just because they're locked in for so long, and everyone will have multiple contracts to negotiate while theirs is going on. It seems very difficult. There'd be huge exit fees to get out. Plus, you don't own the rights to your home games. So legally, they're trying to challenge this. I think whatever lawyers wrote it, apparently it was a very good document, because no, if it was easy to get out of, people would have got out of it. They are not doing it. But the schools, you know, it was interesting. You had Clemson and Florida State, which makes sense. But Miami, I think Virginia Tech, North Carolina, and I'm maybe blanking on the other one. But, NC State, I believe, too. So, like, North Carolina would be potentially leaving Duke behind, you know. So it's definitely – that was interesting. And then they have these meetings, and it kind of comes out that all these seven schools are looking to leave, and then the seven schools that weren't are kind of surprised, like, hey, what's going on? I don't feel like anyone's going to leave. Like the talking out of the meeting was unity, but basically unity to the point where, unless a better offer comes along, like unless something happened where Clemson could leave, like they're not leaving until they can leave, you know, and maybe they're looking for ways to leave, but right now they're happy, like whatever, they're not happy, but they're going to stick with the ACC. But it seems like there's instability as far as like what the schools and programs want to do. But they're sort of locked in with this contract. So I feel like the ACC can't really do anything until we see what happens with the Pac-12. Maybe there's expansion and you try to add like Oregon and Washington, and then you can renegotiate the rights deal. I don't know, but it seemed like there was a whole lot of discord kind of going on down there, backstabbing, all of that, but no one can really go anywhere. So you kind of like, you get caught like on a dating app trying to cheat on your wife, but you never got to, but she knows that you were trying, something like that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's the ACC is kind of a weird conference anyway. Like there's, I mean, there's some old, you know, Big East in there. There's a lot of weird stuff. They lost a lot of the like a traditional ACC like Maryland a while ago. It's just kind of a weird conglomeration. I guess the question is, do you think the ACC is sticking together through, what was it, 2036?
2036, yeah.
Yeah, there's no chance.
I don't think so, no.
At some point, they're either going to pay buyouts, or somebody's going to pay it for them, or whatever's going to happen. And it makes sense. I mean, the seven schools that were listed as, you know, looking around or wandering eye, I mean, look at them. They're the seven schools that are serious about football. And then the seven others are, you know, the ones who maybe have a good basketball program, but they don't really care about football, or they're not very good at football. I mean, it's Boston College, Duke, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, and Wake Forest. I mean, which one of those has had a good season recently? Wake Forest and Pitt? Is that it?
Yeah, Pitt. Yeah, both those schools like won their divisions, I think.
Yeah, but it's not, these aren't traditional powers. But on the other side, you've got Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, NC State, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. And you mentioned North Carolina and Duke splitting. Well, that just goes to show you, like, first, money rules this, and also fan interest does not, and it would never will or would. And also, North Carolina is much more serious about football than Duke is, and football is the driver for all of this.
But North Carolina and like Virginia are probably better fits for the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think that's where they perspective. Would look. Yeah, no, I think this is more a strategy for how do we break this deal and then look our separate ways than it is, hey, we want to move all seven of us as a unit. Because I would think North Carolina, Virginia, and Virginia Tech would all make more sense as Big Ten-y type stuff.
I think Miami wants to go Big Ten too, which would probably make sense to get like South Florida. It seems like it would be SEC, but like they got the AAU stuff. I think
their
they would rather
be. Side, their academic side would definitely want Big Ten, but I think there's going to be other movers there, and they're probably going to get some big offers from the SEC to go there. But this will break apart. It's just a question of when they can all come to an agreement on it.
Yeah. And it was weird that, you know, I mentioned the Ray Anderson comments. You know, he was on a podcast. It was on the, it was an Arizona State podcast. And he thought the long-term viability was really strong. The 10 schools are solid, blah, blah, blah. We've heard that a bunch of times, but he was saying July or August would the rights deal. But he also mentioned San Diego State and SMU about expansion, like naming the other schools, which I don't know if I've heard that from anyone else, like going out and saying who these schools are, which I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of, I don't know what you think about it, but I know everyone's talking about it in the media, but for an athletic director in the Pac-12 to say that, I you know, the Pac-12 hates when the Big 12 comes out and says things about, you know, stealing some of those schools. I don't know if the Pac-12 should be doing that too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit par for the course for our man. But also, I mean, there's a certain element where these discussions have to be kind of behind closed doors. But I think, I don't hate the transparency generally, but it does make negotiations possibly more difficult. And it also, if you make your interest known, then other people might know that there's a market for it. And then, like, again, for the Big 12. But I don't think he's saying anything that's unknown, so I don't get too excited about it. I mean, I think everyone kind of gets it. So I don't know. I mean, he's kind of he's kind of consistently putting his foot in his mouth. That's just his style.
It's kind of shocking he's still the athletic director right now, to be honest.
It's beyond shocking. Beyond. But you know what? More power to him. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. I thought of this. I have YouTube TV. Do you have YouTube TV also?
No.
You don't? Okay. Do you have cable? Like, what do you have?
Cable.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, YouTube TV, I get most of the local channels, except I don't get Channel 5 in Los Angeles, which is like the CW. And the CW has the LIV golf event, so I don't really get to watch those. I do like watching golf, but I don't really watch LIV because it's on the CW. But they had a big event, and the PGA is this week. So, guys like Bryce Koepka did really well at the last major. What was it? It wasn't the U.S. Open. It was the Masters, I think. Like, some of the guys from LIV came on and did well. Like Bryson DeChambeau did well the first day of the PGA, but there was a tournament that was like, there's a 3-day tournament. So I think it ends on Saturday. They only do, or it might be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever it was. It was the third day. They do, LIV is 54 in Roman numerals. So they only play 54 holes instead of, 4 days worth, 4 rounds. They play 3 rounds. And it was like 4 holes left on the final day. And it was like a packed leaderboard. Like, anyone could have won it. And a lot of the CW channels cut out, cut off and went to like reruns of stuff, like just whatever their normal programming was. And I just thought that was kind of funny. I retweeted somebody that was talking about it, but apparently, the LIV buys the time, and they're just, when the time runs out, that's it. But yeah, I thought it was like, with the Pac-12 being talked about, the CW, we've seen, truck races preempt, football games and things on FS1 and stuff. But I thought it was just kind of funny. Like,
being cut off for an episode of the Gilmore Girls that aired live 25 years ago would be so cool.
That would be very Pac-12.
I would actually never stop tweeting about that.
It was it the middle? It was something. It was like, there was some, I forget what show that they were showing, and someone tweeted like the different outlets. Not all of them, but I guess some of them did that. And it's something to do with their contract or whatever. But yeah, I thought that was just kind of funny. So if the Pac-12
do you want to watch Arizona, Washington State, or can I interest you in the 1999 season finale of Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
And I'm curious if like that's something where, I mean, LIV Golf is paying for this time or however that works. I mean, if you're trying to get ratings, like people are already watching LIV Golf right now. Like, are they tuning in to see Bewitched or whatever you're putting on next? Like, or would you probably get better ratings just by sticking with the golf, even if they weren't even paying for it? Like, you probably get better ratings that way. That just was very curious that how that would happen.
Very funny.
Yeah. One last note. Someone tweeted at me asking us to talk about this. Don't know a lot about it, but it's one of these Assembly Bill 252. And so if you remember, the whole NIL stuff started in California, and I forget what the bill number was, but basically allowing student athletes to get compensation for their name, image, and likeness. This legislation, which is actually like, I think it came from some kind of, it was like the lawsuit or whatever. But anyway, there was like a lawsuit against like the Pac-12 and USC, like, not paying their student athletes like employees. But this one could have a huge impact if it gets through the state assembly, which it seems like it'd be kind of difficult to do. But, John Wilner wrote about it. It could have serious ramifications for Title IX and all this. But basically trying to, there would be like a revenue share with student athletes that, if your sport's making money, players need to get a chunk of it. I think if you break it down that way. But any thoughts on this or any, clarifications you want to?
I'll say, so just looking at like the amounts being bandied about, which could be every athlete for like a specific team receiving $25,000 annually and having more than $100,000 waiting for them upon graduation. I don't know. Here's the thing. There's plenty of money that is currently going into stupid buildings, stupid equipment in those buildings, and stupid salaries for gym coaches that could and should be going to athletes. I don't know what the amount is that allows for equilibrium, that allows for schools not to cut sports, that allows for them to continue to run their athletic programs and their athletic departments. It's definitely more than what they're paying out to players right now, which is nothing. I don't know if it's less than what's being asked for in this bill. And I think that's the middle ground that needs to be found, is where, how much can you, base compensate everyone participating in these major revenue generating sports without, cutting off the ability to fund rowing or whatever it is, because the schools, it's this would be a major status change for how they have to run their athletic departments. It would be a major competitive change because there's only, I mean, there's only X amount of dollars. So if you want to redistribute it, that's fine. I mean, and you should redistribute a lot of it to the players, but you will be putting yourself at a competitive disadvantage from a coaching perspective, vis-a-vis, you know, other schools in other states. But at the same time, you might have a recruiting advantage if kids know that when they go there, they're going to be participating in a revenue generating sport, and whatever their NIL compensation is, they're getting, you know, a stipend of X, whatever it is, $25,000 annually, fine. So there's a lot of factors to consider, but I would say the main one and the one you want to be most careful of is, regardless of Title IX, you would want to make sure that whatever amounts you're dictating, whatever you know, whatever you determine is a beneficial profit share for the kids, that it doesn't actually, you know, cut off your nose and make you eliminate sports that help advance, you know, kids in areas where they aren't getting money for it.
It is a weird, I mean, the way college athletics works is very weird. I mean, this is a very American thing. You know, if you go to Europe, there's not, you don't see like big sports in the colleges, but it's big here. And the way it ends up working, right or wrong, is football, maybe basketball, maybe a couple other sports to some level, make a bunch of money.
And they fund and everything else.
They fund all the other stuff. And like, I, you know, you were reading about the women's basketball got really popular, right? Like it was this, you know, the NCAA tournament for the women, people were watching Caitlin Clark and all that kind of stuff. And you read the stories and it's like, well, basically if you're LSU, you lost more money than if you were like Loyola Marymount, because you didn't make it very far in the tournament. So you don't have all the travel expenses. The further you go, like the more expenses were going on and you weren't making enough money to offset that. So even though you had a lot of success and a lot of eyeballs, and maybe TV contracts will change and that can change. But right now, going further in the NCAA tournament was actually costing those athletic departments even more money than what they were doing. So yeah. And that, so Title IX is ensuring that you have, for every, you know, male scholarship, there's a female scholarship. You can't just have a whole bunch of men's sports and, not really women's sports. Well, football sort of like disrupts that because you have, there's no other sport where you have 85 scholarships. But now it's going to be, if you have to share the money that football team makes with the football players, well, now it's not going to, like you said, the rowing team or the tennis team or whatever. Now what happens? And so, yeah, this will be interesting. It's sort of like, I get like some of it where like you want to make this right, but the way that college athletics has worked, it might crush Olympic sports, which I don't think anybody wants to do either. And for, you know, if you're even looking at the higher level of, you know, the U.S. Olympic teams and the, you know, the Olympic committee and all of that, they sort of get this free pass by getting a lot of the training done and athletic development done by these colleges. So that could change where other sport, where other countries have to like fund their Olympic teams more, you know, as far as development and all that stuff goes. Now you have kind of like a built-in developmental staff with all these colleges too. So it's definitely complicated. I'm curious to see sort of what happens with this. I guess by today, May 19th is when we're recording this, Wilner said it has to reach the assembly floor and it has to pass appropriations by today. And he said it seems likely because the bill's author is the chairman of the appropriations committee.
Yeah, that seems likely.
That's yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really complicated. I have no doubt, however, this is juiced and squeezed and massaged through California's lovely legislature, it's going to end up a mess that is poorly thought out, that probably doesn't do effectively what it's intending to do. And it probably will lead to the elimination of some Olympic sports if it actually does go through the way it's currently written. You know, I think this is it's the right idea. I just don't know if it's going to be in the particulars what it needs to be. And I think This is where a governing body for the actual sport that has a real good feel for the sport would help. But college football currently doesn't have one. There's something called the It's NCAA. Is that it?
NCBB or
BBA?
AA. No, AA. You're right. Yeah.
This is where actual rules that made sense instead of spending the last, like, I don't know, 15 goddamn years fighting even the idea that players are human beings who should get paid probably would have been better, because rules coming from actual people understand college athletics and understand the funding dynamic and all that kind of stuff. Because if you watched any of the UC Regents, just to give you a quick primer, the UC Regents are basically the California legislature. They're just as out of touch. They're just as dopey. Like, the whole thing, they're all political animals. It's the same basic thing. They're not the same people, but it's the same basic thing. Did anybody watch or read anything about when they were discussing UCLA and the potential for going to the Big Ten and all that kind of stuff? They have no knowledge whatsoever of anything to do with college athletics. Whatever, like, monstrosity of a bill comes out is going to be applied so horribly to college athletics, it's going to be very bad. If you actually had a governing body that could institute, you know, good rules that made sense for all of this stuff, that was not just, you know, trying to turn back the tide of history like the NCAA spent the last 15 years doing, you'd be in a better position right now. And yeah, you wouldn't have so many state governments and, in some cases, the national government, the federal government, stepping in. You would, you know, if this was within shouting distance of equitable, you wouldn't have so many of these popular bills running through these states.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back and do some questions, David. Back in a minute. All right, we're back here.
How was your break?
It was good. Podcast of Champions. I'm a little hungry, man. I gotta go home and make lunch after this. But
I haven't eaten lunch either. I'm starving. I'm kind of like hangry almost.
Hangry?
Yeah, a little bit.
Pink
eye, you know.
It's
been a rough couple of minutes here.
It sounds like, okay, so David created our Gmail account, pactolpodcast@gmail.com, and I'm more of a clean out the inbox, no unread messages person, and he's allowed every message you've ever got just sit there and add up. And every once in a while, I have to, like, report a bunch of spam. And I don't know, somebody must have signed
up. The funniest thing is that somebody's using our Gmail account to sign up for a bunch of over 50 dating sites.
Yeah, so welcome to our time, Audrey. Let's begin. And there was a whole bunch of messages. I left this one in there because I thought it was kind of funny. David, you've got some interesting stuff going on, but someone must be signing you up for these things. I assume that's not you.
Yeah, it's not me. We have our time, and then there was another one. What was the other one?
Zeusk.
Yeah.
There's also Match. Let's see. Match.com. There's a whole bunch of, like, messages from Match. Hi, Linda. So you're so Linda on one
Linda
of them.
And Audrey.
So
anyway, if you're the person doing this, it's a very funny joke and I find it amusing, and I will never report this to these respective institutions. I think it's very funny.
Nice. All right, we have a voicemail. I'll start with that, and I think James is our next email if you want to do that one next. But let's do the voicemail. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Perk. I saw this week that there's an update that for the Big Ten football package, they're moving, I want to say, like, 8 games to, like, Peacock streaming only. And there seems to be a lot of fans within the footprint that are pretty pissed off about it. And just some of the feedback was, someone had mentioned, kind of at what point the fans have a revolt and kind of go against some of these options. I'm wondering, between conference realignment and some of these TV deals where stuff like that is happening, of forcing people streaming only options, do you guys think there's going to be a revolt from the fans? And if so, I guess in which area do you think it would would be? Do you think it would be on the TV side, or just more fans getting disillusioned and not getting into the football games as much? I guess the overall question is kind of, do you see blowback happening at some point, and from what direction? Anyway, thanks, guys.
Go ahead.
Real quick, the NFL apparently is going to do a playoff game on Peacock. Or it was Amazon. I think it was Peacock. So they're doing like their Thursday night Amazon games, which haven't got good ratings. But I think actual one of the playoff games, so it must be one of the early ones, is going to be on a streaming service too. So it's creeping in, but I don't know. I'm curious. I'll get your thoughts on that.
I mean, I think the whole, not just the streaming angle, but like so many of these moves are clearly designed in opposition to what any like reasonable fan of a college football program would want. All of it is designed to get as much money as possible. So the streaming deals are because, you know, if the Pac-12 ends up doing a streaming deal, it's going to be because they can get more money doing that. And the money is the most important thing. And all this stuff is driven entirely by money. And the money doesn't come from the hardcore fan going to games or, you know, buying hot dogs or, you know, watching every game. It comes from like the broad base of everyone paying for, you know, a streaming service or paying for a cable service or whatever to, you know, fund that particular conglomerate, which is then willing to overpay for the product to the different leagues. So from a revolt standpoint, I don't know. Already I'm seeing on like our message board, and Ryan, you can speak to this too. And I don't know how much of it is just kind of the, you know, the general like kind of like blahness of the Chip Kelly era, and how much of it is just reality of a lot of people getting cheesed off. And it's not just like the old heads who are like, we shouldn't be paying players, but it's also the ones who are just like, this is kind of lame. I don't want to watch UCLA play Iowa. And you know, I grew up watching games because I really had a brother that went to Cal. And so it was a lot of fun, you know, going to UCLA Cal games. And I think it's not just UCLA and USC leaving the league for the Big Ten that's one of the most notable examples, but it's all this kind of just breaking of the things that matter for college football fans. I don't think it's as simple as the NFL, where there are people out there who are just NFL fans. They put on the games on Sunday and they watch as many games as on TV, and that's what they do. Like, we joke about being like Pac-12 fans, and that's to an extent we are, but also like, people watch college football for their team, like I think to a much larger extent than they're watching in the NFL. I think people who are, you know, pro football fans like to watch all the games. And to just make it matter less is antithetical, because the whole point of college football is that it matters to these people in a way that the NFL you can appreciate on an athletic level, on a talent level, on all those other different levels. The skill level is so high. College football isn't that. You're getting innovative schemes sometimes. You're getting some interesting stuff. But it's like, from a quality perspective, it's not as good as the NFL. You're not watching it for that reason. You're watching it because it matters to you personally. And so many of these moves, so many of these choices make it matter less or make it less accessible. And I think all of that stuff, I don't know if there's a revolt, but I could see people starting to get a little bit cheesed off and just, you know, paying attention a little bit less, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit less, and so on and so forth, until they just stop watching altogether.
No, I think it's a good point. We sort of lose sight of what makes the sport special sometimes. And I think it was like the Yahoo guys, or like it was Pat Forty, I think, talking about this when they were talking about the ACC and how that you could have North Carolina and Duke break up. And why would it be? Well, because North Carolina's athletic department could get like an extra $20 million a year. You're like, well, what? Like, is that what the fans care about? Or do they care about this crazy rivalry with Duke when they play twice a year in the ACC and then probably in the tournament and all that kind of stuff? You sort of lose sight of what makes it awesome, right? And it's just, well, you need to make some more money. And that's not what makes the sport awesome, but you can do that. You can hurt the sport with, like you said, USC and UCLA leaving. I mean, you need villains sometimes, and just being the LA schools, people love to say, you know, beat LA or whatever. They want to come and to the Rose Bowl or Coliseum. it's a huge win when you come in there and beat a team from Los Angeles that you feel like is the privileged child or whatever. And so you get over on them. It like, it matters more. It's just, you know, they can be villains or whatever it is. You can make it out for just, it's a reason why you're in this. And you know, with Cal not playing USC and UCLA or, you know, it hurts, I think, the whole league. And it hurts USC and UCLA too, not having those games. Right. And, you know, they can go be villains in another conference, but it's not going to be the same. Like, does Rutgers really care about beating USC or as much as like Oregon State would? Yeah, I don't think so. But it's, yeah, we lose some of that. And I think we lose sight of it just because you're just trying to make the most money possible, which I get. Like, you have to stay viable, but at some point you do lose like your identity.
Yeah, and that's the piece that I think is just not being calculated, because, again, and I made this point before, so I'm not going to belabor it, but all the people involved are short-timers who don't understand the sport. Like, it's, you know, and I don't mean to, like, knock Martin Jarmond or Mike Bone, but, and for a lot of reasons, I don't think Dane Guerrero or, I don't know, pick your, you know, your USC athletic director, Lynn Swan or Pat Hayden or Mike Garrett, and for a lot of different reasons, they're not making this move. Like, they wouldn't have made this move. They wouldn't have promoted making this move. And some of it, let's just be real, is because they were a little bit incompetent. But some of it also was they had roots in understanding, you know, the placement of these institutions in the Pac-12 in a way that Mike Bone and Martin Jarmond, by virtue of being outsiders, do not. And I think for a lot of fans, it's welcome that they are outsiders, that they have that new way of thinking, that they're, you know, willing to make these kind of moves. But I don't think it's great. I don't think it's great for the sport. I don't think it's great for the schools in the long run. And I think there's a lot of that at all levels. I think you run into it at the conference commissioner spots, where increasingly it seems like those commissioner positions are much shorter time roles than they used to be. You know, these guys aren't, I mean, how long was Jim Hansen the Pac-12's commissioner? It was like 30 years, wasn't it?
It was a really long time.
Yeah. Absolutely insane. And it seems like it's on an accelerating course of those guys just moving on to other things, trying to make a big splash. You know, so there's just a lot of elements here where I think it's decoupling from a lot of the things that make the sport. And I don't want to sound like I'm a classical, you know, conservative. I don't want anything to change, because there are some things that needed to change and need to change, which are, you know, paying the players, which is happening to some degree with NIL. It's obviously better than what it was before. It's still not, you know, what it needs to be. But there's also this other element where all we're doing is changing the sport and changing the structure of it and changing the function of it to make it look more like the NFL. So it is easier for ESPN and Fox to gobble it up and distribute it in this kind of format that they want to do. And it reflects a complete misunderstanding of what the sport is. It reflects a complete misunderstanding of who the fans are and what they're going to be willing to watch and why they watch it. Because I think it's losing the fact that, not for everyone, I will watch UCLA, even if this wasn't my job, I'll watch UCLA play whoever, and I'll still be pretty invested. But I've brought this up before, but my brother, you know, I don't know if it's as interesting to him if they're not playing Cal, if they're not playing Washington, if they're not playing Stanford. And I think that's true of a lot of them, a lot of the fans. You know, it's, oh, once a year I go up to Stanford, or my Stanford buddy comes down here and we tailgate for that game. And that's really important to us. And that's part of the fun of college football season. Well, yeah, that's not going to happen anymore. Sorry. I mean, it's just like stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's UCLA, it's USC. I mean, it's whatever. But I can't imagine that it's all too different for, I don't know, Texas. I mean, I guess they're going with Oklahoma, but they're losing a lot when they go. And I don't know. I just feel it's a lot of bad changes that do not reflect an understanding of why people care about college football.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to do the first question?
Sure. All right. So this is James. The only Jake from the University of Washington who's not a former quarterback said Jake. Pac-12 historical connections. This question is primarily for Dave, but it's also a golden opportunity for a crossover episode with Petros Papadakis. I was going to send in a whole thing about how there were rumors that the Pac-12 was going to replace UCLA with a different UC, the University of Constantinople, but instead decided to cut my submission down to those traces of Byzantine and Eastern Mediterranean historical influence across the Pac-12. How would you rank these four Pac-12 historical connections from least to most interesting to you personally? One, there is a line in the Washington Huskies fight song that references the World War I Gallipoli campaign. It's harder to push them over the line than past the Dardanelles. Wow, that's a deep cut. So this was a specific thing Winston Churchill was trying to do with some defunct dreadnoughts. So, Ryan, have you ever read the book Dreadnought?
I have not.
Or anything by Barbara Tuchman, who's a great World War One historian?
I don't believe so, no.
Strongly recommend. Guns of August is one of the best things ever written.
Okay.
But, Winston Churchill, there was a dreadnought race where all of the different major powers in Europe were trying to build dreadnoughts, which were basically big battleships. And they were trying to increasingly just build bigger and better and more technologically advanced. And the end result was, like, every 3 years, the older dreadnoughts were already defunct. Like, you couldn't have sent them into battle because they were already destroyed. And so Britain, at one point in World War One, and this may have been after the creation of the U-boat. I'm a little fuzzy on the details many years after reading about all this, but they had a bunch of dreadnoughts just sitting around that couldn't do anything because they were all kind of outdated or they were a little bit worried about getting them sunk. And Churchill's idea was, well, we're going to go run them through Gallipoli and up through the Dardanelles, which is the region between the land of Turkey. And anyway, the whole thing was a disaster. But I love that line. Two, the name of the, quote, Golden Gate entrance to the San Francisco Bay, which is visible from Cal Berkeley's Memorial Stadium, actually has nothing to do with the California Gold Rush. That, quote, Golden Gate geographic place name was actually applied by the soldier and explorer John C. Fremont in 1846, prior to the discovery of gold at Sutter's Mill in 1848, because of what Fremont said was, quote, the same reasons that the harbor of Byzantium was called Chrysosiris, or Golden Horn. Love it. Love it. Three, USC's mascot is literally an American pretending to be a Roman who is pretending to be a Trojan. It's true.
All right.
And four, the University of Washington school colors of purple and gold were actually inspired by a description of an Assyrian cavalry charge from the reading of a Lord Byron poem titled The Destruction of Sennacherib. The decision occurred during a UW student body meeting in 1896. The Lord Byron poem was read to dissuade the faction who were advocating red, white, and blue as UW school colors as a nod to the first U.S. president. We could then easily imagine an athletic contest between UW and USC is actually styled as a contest between the Trojans, Romans, and the Assyrians. Very interesting. The best one there is... I'm going to go with the Gallipoli campaign. It's harder to push them over the line than past the Dardanelles. Whenever you can include a historical reference that's somewhat obscure from 108 years ago in your in your fight song, that's pretty cool.
Somewhat obscure. It's pretty...
Red and gold, cardinal and gold, the USC colors were the colors of Byzantium. But purple was the royal color that the emperors... the autocrators of Byzantium would wear.
And that's where Washington got it?
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
There you go. All right. Thanks, Jake.
Thank you, Jake. You get the wolf at the end. I texted with David about this. We got a text message. Why did you guys kill Doyle Brunson? Your expression of surprise at his vitality clearly shocked his system to death on 5/14/23. Good night, sweet prince. And he sent a photo of the Texas Dolly. And yes, I don't remember why, but we were talking about books or something. And I looked over and I think you saw that I had Doyle Brunson's Super System 1 and 2 and just thought, you know,
within days we had murdered him.
Yeah, I think I asked you, is Doyle Brunson still alive? or being just me.
And I looked it up, and he was 88 or whatever.
Right. And within a couple of days, he passed.
That's happened to me a couple of times where I mentioned that, and then somebody is dead immediately afterwards.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I enjoyed watching him when I would watch any of the poker stuff that was on TV and everything. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, I didn't want to see him pass away, obviously. But RIP Texas Dolly. He definitely was someone that made me like poker more. I don't know if it was the same for you. His Super System books were really good, kind of ahead of their time of the way people are playing aggressive poker now. He was sort of like one of the godfathers of that, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a ton of fun. When was that? Like 2004, 2005, when it was just huge. I was playing all the time in the dorms. Watching all that stuff.
Mid-2000s and then like later, I think, I forget what the one guy, once the World Series of Poker got to like the guy won like 8 million or something. It was Chris Moneymaker, like probably mid-2000s, right? When he won.
Yeah, that was 2003, I think.
Oh, was that three? Okay. And maybe like 2006 was when, I forget what the dude, the guy that won when it got to like 8 million, I used to play against him at the Hustler Casino. Used to play sometimes, and he went off and there was some controversy about like someone paid for half his buy-in. So then I forget what it was. There was a whole bunch of crap going on back then, but online poker was becoming popular and it was just like a big deal. But Doyle's book about Super System of what you need to do, and things got even more aggressive forward, but just aggression is just kind of the way you go, and you force the action, and people lay down hands that are not as good as yours, and it's just you see that kind of hyper aggression like all through poker and stuff now, and it's changed what the raise should be, where it used to be like typically it was like three times whatever the bet was, and some of it's changed where I think it's like two or two and a half. I haven't played for a while, but
I haven't played poker in a long time.
The math behind all this stuff is interesting to me, and like the trying to read people and think about what they have and everything. It was great, but Doyle was obviously amazing at that, and reading both of his books, maybe I'll go back and read them again, because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think that's it, right?
Is that it?
Did you get an interview request?
Oh yeah, I went on Solid Verbal. If anybody wants to go tune into that,
How was that?
It was good. Talked to them about UCLA, their spring, and Chip Kelly, and lots of fun stuff.
You cheated on me. You did another podcast.
I did. I cheated on you, but you had already cheated on me with the same people. So it's really kind of an odd sexual thing going on there.
I already dipped my toes into the Dan Rubenstein pool, and then you followed. Sloppy seconds.
That was
good. We love those guys. That was cool. And you actually responded. I can't believe you responded. Like I looked, I'm like, oh, I haven't looked at this.
It was odd because I had just so happened to be in the Podcast of Champions email because I think one of those hour time things had just come in. Like, what the hell is this? And then the interview request came in. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But I actually responded. There you have it. 22 solid minutes of my face on their StreamYard.
Nice. Do you know Kevin wants to talk to us on Zusk or whatever?
Kevin on Zusk? I haven't gotten... Is there a new... Oh, Kevin wants to talk to you replied now on Zusk.
Yeah, that was like 4:30 in the morning. So that's got to be a quality person.
Should I request access to these?
You need to look to see what they set up for the profile.
All right, hang on.
We're apparently women.
Yeah, we're women. I've got a picture. Oh gosh, okay. She's claiming to be, her birthday is the 27th of October 1962.
So we are old.
We're 60. We're 60, okay. Almost 61. She's only 10% complete with her profile. She's 5'2", doesn't smoke, is a Christian, no children.
Is this on Zusk, or is this the
this
match?
Is, this is the Zusk one.
Zusk.
But why did she use our email address?
I mean, it has to be trolling us, right? Like, wouldn't that be?
I don't know. Like, yeah, it's got to be that, or somebody is just using email addresses to fish people. And so we are part of a fish campaign.
Oh, maybe.
That's probably the most likely thing. I should probably shut these things down.
I would think, because, like, well, and then there's, like, people actually messaging us, right? Like, messaging.
Yeah, messages are, you have to subscribe to get messages. So
okay.
I don't know. I'll say I don't really understand Zusk.
Very. Yeah, I don't either, but all right, yeah, maybe shut them down.
Yeah, it might be about that time.
Okay. Well, good stuff. That's all we got this week. Yeah, it might be a little while. Let's send us any stuff. I can maybe do a remote podcast from where I'm gonna be, but we'll see. Yeah, I don't get to go on vacation very often, so it'll be fun to get away for a little bit.
Yeah, you don't get to do that.
Hold on. Ryan, the LA Times reporting, Mike Bone has resigned from his position as USC athletic director, effective immediately.
Wait, what?
Like, literally, he just tweeted that. Is this the real Ryan Kartnick? This has to be. Wow.
What? So there's got to be some news dump coming after that, right? There's got to be something, dude. There's no way you just do that.
Holy cow.
Well, you got to get off and go do some stuff.
That changed my day.
What the heck? Okay, let's see. Any details? He issued a statement. Let's see.
What's the statement?
The statement is, after more than 40 years of college athletics leadership, it is the right time to step away from my position as director of athletics at the University of Southern California. Yada, 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 yada. In moving on, it is important now that I focus on being present with my treasured family, addressing ongoing health challenges, and reflecting on how I can be impactful in the future.
So potential health issue.
Potential health.
But also family.
But also family. Health of family. Wow.
That's interesting.
Wow.
I gotta love Twitter.
That is crazy.
Not paying for a blue check, but gotta love Twitter still.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we got that in. The first reaction will be from us. Basically just going like,
wow. Well, after I just talked smack about him being a interloper who doesn't have a feel for things, USC will get another chance to hire a retread.
It'll be interesting to see where they go. If you go back, you know, you've had a lot of success with Mike Bone, right? You bring in
Matt Riley.
Yeah, you got to go back former football player, right?
Yeah, Matt Leinart.
Yeah, I'm going to put my name in the hat for this job.
I think you could do it.
I definitely could do it.
I think you're seasoned now.
How hard can it be? Come on.
Honestly, it can't be just that hard. Don't make hard.
Stupid decisions.
Mike Garrett did it for a long time. Can't be that hard.
Yeah. Very, very interesting there, though. So, and just for perspective, like, I spoke at a USC luncheon yesterday, and, you know, I think Mike Bone is pretty good. You know, like, is he great? I don't know. Like, he's definitely a lot better than what they've had. Like, he's someone that's been an athletic director. He's hired some good people. You know, I think he's done, you know, some good things, but it would take time, you know, to know if he's like a great athletic director, or just someone that's literally someone that's competent and you could do a pretty good job at USC. And he's at least that. And, you know, with potential, there's more upside there. We'll see. But he's been a good person to deal with. He's come on, you know, one-on-one with me on my shows. When I first met him, like, he had me, like, I was at a basketball game and he was sitting courtside. He's like, okay, Ryan, come sit down. And I sat next to him like for half the game. We just chatted. He was someone that was definitely took the job seriously. I think he was would listen to fans. He would listen to any feedback people had. He sort of kept his circle close. He didn't hire a whole bunch of people. They had got rid of a few people in the athletic department. You know, he brought down Brandon Sosna, who left for the Detroit Lions. And I thought he did a nice job. It'll be interesting going into the Big Ten. Obviously he was behind that. Getting the move to the Big Ten. So curious to see, why this happened. But I thought, for as far as athletic directors go, I'd give him an A. Like he did a good job, and I felt he just needed to do the right things after the mess that was left by Pat Hayden and Lynn Swann. And I thought he did that. So, but very shocking that he's leaving right before, a year out before going to the Big Ten. But I guess it gives USC an opportunity to, hire that next person that will take them, take them into a whole new league and a whole new adventure, as far as that goes. But yeah, it's a bummer. I liked Mike a lot. So I'm curious to see, what happens. And hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, hopefully he is. But wow, big news. Big, big news.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our show with a little bit of
breaking news.
Yeah. Some. Hold on. Yeah, we didn't do the breaking news. But again, yeah, hopefully he's okay. It does mention health concerns and stuff. So
yeah, hopefully he's doing okay.
Yeah. But all right. Well, that's David Woods. I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.